episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
This is Vincent Price, and you're listening to Be Told, episode number, I'm not even sure. I hope I get paid for this. I better go.
Thank you, Vincent Price. Episode number, actually, I don't even know. This is a rec on a Be Told, Sunday the 5th of October. I better check. Honestly, when I do a show, there's no production. It's totally off the top of my head. Let's have a look here. Let's have a look. Not wrong place. I've just gone onto DuckDuckGo. It's 7:09 though. Daylight savings has started in the winter is New South Wales. No, the whole of Australia. Actually, no, not in Queensland. They don't do this. So this is episode number 39. Of Be Told. Vincent, you're not getting paid. I'm not paying you for this. Thank you very much. Yeah, so I thought Sunday nights, I've got to start doing my own show. I go over and I waste at least, I haven't even listened to what I did on Fakeologists the last few times. Obviously, I didn't say anything of any relevance, but I'm going to have a bit of a break from there. So he's getting 14-hour shows. He doesn't need me. And I don't want to be part of it, to be honest. I don't feel – there's something a bit uncomfortable about the last couple of appearances I've done on that show. I can't work it out. But I'm going to be on here on the truthmeets.com. Truthmeets.com, the greatest platform ever invented by people that know about internet. And that's Joel. I assume I'm going to get a thumbs up at some stage that you can listen to me, because actually the audio server is there. When I first came on briefly a few minutes before, there was none. So I think I'm obviously being recorded, and I can put my – I'm just waiting for a thumbs up from Joel, who's out there somewhere, that he can hear me. Because what I do is I put do not disturb on my – phone, so people can't ring me in the middle of a conversation, which has happened, guaranteed. Anyway, now interesting. I've just done a show with Dave J, episode number 46. Can you believe it? 46 episodes. I did episode number 49. Was it last night with Rollo? Happy birthday, Rollo! Great show. When we go well together, we go well. And it's ever since he's moved out of that evil house, that house, I'm telling you, was bad vibes about it. I mean, not bad vibes, but it was just moldy and old. And he's got a nice new shiny house and it's all good now. He's much, you can notice the personality wise, Rollo's a much happier person. He's away from all that bad vibes of that location. There is a thing about geolocation. Where you are and how cool, you know, you feel and how happy you feel. My house, where I live, is in a really good spot. People come in there and they always say, oh, this has got a good vibe about this house. This house has a good vibe, he says, shutting the window. The frogs are starting to make their noise. The crickets are coming out. I was at the beach today. Had a beautiful swim. and I got burnt, I think, a little bit. So I just went out and smeared that cactus aloe vera. I snapped a piece of aloe vera off, smeared it over my eyes and face, and I feel better because I went to the beach and it was extraordinarily windy, so you can't tell if you're getting sunburnt. And I haven't actually been doing a lot of sunbathing of late, so I've got to be careful. Got to be careful. Not that I have olive skin, so I'm quite lucky in that department. Now, I mentioned it. I broached the subject on the Bongasocious before, but I am noticed last week Nicole Kidman story that came up with it. Poor look. I talked a little bit about it on the Bong. This is really confusing. I do too many shows. That's why I'm just going to stick. Sunday nights is going to be told. But that's it. No one else. I'm not going on to do an audio chat that's going to get smeared in with a chat about nothing. I'm going to just do something and keep it on here, keeping it on here. I noticed that, so Nicole Kidman and her poor, I'll say it again, poor husband that married her, Keith Urban. Nice enough guy. I think he's a nice guy, Keith Urban. I can tell he's a nice guy. And I remember the story, and I broached it last night, but I'll talk about it more in full here. But 20 years ago, or thereabouts, she had spotted his front cover of the Sydney Morning Herald's weekend magazine, where he was looking fantastic. He's probably 30-something, which most guys always look best in their 30s, I'll say that. And I'm one of them. I definitely think all my 30s, I think I was at top peak condition. Forget about the 20s. The 30s are better. And there he was on the front cover with his perfectly streaked hair, because they're streaks. I think he's got brown hair naturally. And he was sitting there with his guitar and a pair of cowboy boots on jeans. And I do recall the story that Nicole Kidman had said spotted him, and she came after him and ended up marrying him. And she, to be honest, I found her very attractive in Eyes Wide Shut. She takes her clothes off a lot. And while watching the movie, at that stage, I thought she was quite attractive. Now, she's about my age, and let's just say she's looking more and more like a reptilian. I shouldn't say that, being on a conspiracy site, but she's just she looks like the Joker. She looks like Jack Nicholson's Joker, that level of makeup and big, her mouth's different. And apparently she's saying that I didn't want to split up from him. And I bet you, I guarantee you, Keith wanted out, because she has made him constantly look exactly the same as he did on that front cover of that magazine. He has the same streaks and the same. He's probably had to have hair transplants, or I'm going to hazard a guess. Maybe he doesn't or hasn't, but it'd be very unlikely for him to have kept that same exact look that he did in that cover. And I can tell that he's having to make an extraordinary amount of effort to look like he did on that date. And he could just go and get his head shaved, grow a beard, do anything. No, no, no. I don't think Nicole's allowing him to do that. I think she's quite a possessive, Keith, type.
Keith, your hair doesn't look the same. Get it fixed.
Type. One or the other. I'm not sure. But anyway, they ended their marriage 19 years. 19 years. This is where I'm getting at. This metallic moon cycle. And I'm just looking up at the moon tonight with a whole lot of chem spray around it, but it's very, you can see the face, but it's got a big halo around it of chemtrail. And that's what they've been spraying the fuck out of our skies big time lately. Not as bad as a couple of weeks ago, but it's getting there. And the metonic cycle is 19. And then there was a story about this woman that died, big front page story as well. No, front page, it came out on everywhere, about that woman, that the monkey botherer, that died aged 91. So you got the reverse, inverse. You always get these same numbers, backwards and forwards, or forwards and backwards. So, and I also spotted 91 a couple of other times and 19 a couple of other times in big stories. So there's something going on with this moon cycle. And we do happen to have, I think it's a wane, not waning, I think it's waxing. It's going to be full tomorrow. Now, the other big thing I want to talk about is I think the 11th of the 11th, which is a very significant time and date for those of you out there. Am I being recorded? Because I haven't seen a thumbs up from Joel. I assume you can hear me. Joel, can you send me a message if you're listening? Oh, hang on. There he is. Oh, triple thumbs up. That's a sign. I got the triple thumbs up. I'm going to send a nice message back to him. So on the 11th of the 11th, which is, you know, we know that's been used before for a huge big event in the 1914-1918 war. War. Am I allowed to use that word? Raw backwards. War and raw backwards. There's going to be a four planet, what do you call it when they go backwards? This hasn't happened before for a long time. So there's going to be something retrograde. There'll be Mars. Mars retrograde? Mercury is the worst one, but Mars and two other planets and Mercury are doing a retrograde on the 11th. Guaranteed, you won't need to. So you're listening to the show next month around the same date. Well, no. So actually on the day after, so on the 12th or 13th, you will already be in a big story. Something will be going on, guaranteed. Because if they're using retrogrades do work. Look, I know people might not believe in it, but these things above your head do have a huge effect on your life. And retrogrades, totally I believe in now. I got that from listening to a guy who completely disappeared off the planet. And it's from, this is another thing I want to talk about. A lot of your heroes all disappear. When the going gets tough, they all disappear. It's happened big time with COVID. We lost two of my favorites disappeared that on the 2021. You're listening to Beetle.
Truth Meets is supported by listener donations. truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
What a fantastic bumper from the bumper creator out there, Joel. Guaranteed, what a talent that man is. You're listening to 39 Be Told on the 5th of October 2025. Well, getting my information from the Lunig calendar. And I'll read a little cartoon, a little lady, I think it's a lady, in purple, sitting around with flowers and the moon, sky and moon above her head. And it says, the keeping of sane is fairly mundane, or so it may seem at the time. But the plain simple things that a little child sings are perfectly real and sublime. What a wonderful poem by, look, honestly, I can't say enough about that guy. He was a real, an Australian icon, I say that. Even though he was very lefty kind of, I guess. But he worked out when the COVID thing happened, 2020, that we were going into this thing that was sending all people mad. And he did so many good cartoons, Michael Lunig, so many good cartoons. It's not funny. And particularly the highlight of the lot, though, was when he did the parody of the Tiananmen Square with the tank, with a little guy standing in front holding a flower, and there's a giant tank with a giant syringe pointing at him. That got him sacked from The Age in Melbourne after 50 years, I think he'd been with The Age or something like that. A long time. He'd been drawing since the late 60s, and he got sacked overnight. What an appalling. While we're talking about cartoonists, if you look into one of my other favourite is Somerville, from the Nexus magazine. His stuff is just absolutely fabulous if he's still doing them. He lives up the Blue Mountains. I'm telling you, the Blue Mountains are a cool area. There's something about the Blue Mountains that I like, and I feel comfortable around there. a lot of interesting people up there too. It's got a lot of artists and people like that. Kind of, you know, always in the hinterland of areas or a little bit out of the city areas, you always find artist communities and interesting people that think for themselves. Now, I'm just going to mute for a little bit and then I'll be back straight away for the rest of the Be Told show. Be Told. And I'm back. You wouldn't have even noticed. Am I the only person that walks into supermarkets in areas where they've got those doors that open, they've got these big swinging gates that open up in front of you so that the shopping trolleys can't be taken out? They open up automatically as you walk in. Am I the only person that walks in and waves them like I'm commanding them, like I'm a wizard? And I always stand in front of them. I wave my hands and they move. They open forward. Am I the only person that does that? I'd hope not. I can't help but do it. As soon as I walk in, and you know, as soon as you walk in, you've got about a second, and I stand in front of them and I command, like I do this kind of Moses thing or a Gandalf thing, and they open up and I walk through them. I've no concern about anyone thinking I'm mad. I think people go, he's got command of these robotic gates. He's obviously someone special. I would hope to think. Yeah, anyway, back to Nicole Kidman and that poor husband of hers. So they split up. Now, Nicole Kidman gets brought up a lot, if you're into proper conspiracy theorists out there, into because of her father, Dr. Anthony Kidman, who was a head psychiatrist at Roselle Hospital, where I do a lot of my walking, and I always am there. Whenever I'm in the winter is Sydney, I always drive there, drive through the gates of Roselle Hospital, giant sandstone buildings. A lot of it's fenced off, you can't get into, but I drive down and park down by the water and do the bay walk and go to the outdoor gym down there. And I've been walking through that area for 40 years this year. This year exactly will be 40 years of me roaming around that hospital. It was actually still open when I was there in 85. So it was still full of patients and you could still see the poor old World War I veterans where they had the shell shock people that came back with shell shock, which I believe is 100% real. I think they were testing the physical shell shock and then they used the drug shell shock, which they inject you with the drug the chemical they give from pigs. They give diabetics insulin, and they did these deep sleep therapy things there. The place was always brought up from the early probably the 40s and the 60s. There are big royal commissions into the abuses in those areas. And this is this giant psych center. This is massive. Now, why would they have something so big in a country with so many little people back in the day when Australia's probably had about 5 million, 6 million in the 30s? If that really sparse population, they had this 5 kilometers of psychiatric centers built. Explain that to me. Ooh. And Dr. Kidman, and I'll read you some of the aspersions against Dr. Kidman from how do I do this? Go on to Truth Meets and Show Chat. Here we go. And boom. Visit site. Now, this isn't mainstream media. This is off the internet. Anthony Kidman dies amidst child abuse allegations. This is Fiona Barnett that's written this. Now, this is a woman who has got some of the most out there aspersions you've ever heard in your life. And Jan Ervin kind of dismissed her with his trivium and she didn't want to argue with him. But some of the things that she said, I'd have to say, I think there's substance to them. And the Dr. Kidman one, for sure. So on White Balloon Day 2014, September the 7th, anyone out there? 7. An event meaningful to me because it raises awareness for child sex assault victims. The main perpetrator of my childhood abuse, Dr. Anthony Kidman, died suddenly in Singapore. Hang on, sorry. What was I getting at? Yesterday, he had his funeral. Kidman was, I allege, part of the Sydney-based paedophile ring of which I was a victim up to the age of 15. What is undisputed at the time of his death, that Kidman was under investigation by the New South Wales Healthcare Complaints Department and the Psychology Council of New South Wales and presumably the Royal Commission into Paedophilia, which is going on. Since 86, I've reported Kidman's crimes to health professionals, none of whom have adhered to any the mandatory reporting legislation. In 2008, I reported Kidman's involvement in a Sydney-based paedophile ring to the New South Wales Police, specifically Justin Hadley, who is currently based in the DY station. In 2013, I formally reported Kidman as a perpetrator of child abuse to the Royal Commission in a private hearing in Brisbane. Later in 2013, I made an application to the New South Wales Victims of Crime, naming Kidman and other perpetrators. Now, she also brings up Nicole, that she was being abused with. Well, I'm not going to name any of the other people because she could be making this up, but he's a famous actor, stage actor. And she claims that she'd been abused by these two or three, including another very famous character actor. And that Nicole came out and she knew and was watching or something or other. And I thought, that's a bit, you know. And then Kidman dies on the 7th of September. Like, this was going on at this, when this Wood Royal Commission. Now, she accuses even the head of the Wood Royal Commission of being part of the whole plot as well. I mean, I wasn't there, but she did say a whole lot of stuff. And I don't think she's the only person to bring up Kidman. So I penned, this is her saying, talking. I penned my original response to the news of Kidman's death on the day he died, but before this could be published on 1A, my article was leaked and a distorted version of my testimony went viral, resulting in numerous media inquiries. As for the record, I did not author the news stories, and although I was quoted from them, I was not interviewed. Okay, I'm not going to read any more, but Fiona Barnett is very interesting character. She is, if you look onto YouTube, I think she was called Candy Girl on YouTube. Very interesting. Now, what made me more interested in was when her brother-in-law mysteriously died shortly afterwards of was in Asia somewhere and had a heart attack and died. Here we go. Nicole Kidman's ex-brother-in-law, Angus Hawley, sudden death undetermined. Mystery still surrounds the late-night death of Angus Hawley, high-profile Sydney businessman, Nicole Kidman's former brother-in-law. The 46, I just did episode 46 of Dave J, Bong Decision, father of four, who was married to Antonia for 11 years, died while on a business trip to New York on April the 25th, 2015. Another 7 there. Now, I can't read any more of this. I think I have to. Oh, no, I can. The cause of death is undetermined and the manner of death is undetermined. Now, look, this doesn't just happen. Yeah, look, if you die, even if you're a nobody, there's massive inquiries and you can't not get a death certificate unless there's been an autopsy performed. But if you're a famous person that's tied up with something dodgy, No problem whatsoever. The sudden death of the Sydney society princes attracted much public interest. I actually bumped into him one day walking out of a cafe, and I remember him. And this is after he split up from Antonia, who was her sister, Nicole's sister. The sudden death of one of the Sydney society princes, and he was a playboy as well, like he got about, attracted much public interest, but the findings of his autopsy have never been released. A freedom of information request by Fairfax Media to access the autopsy findings was denied. Now, this is obviously suspicious. If Fairfax, this is mainstream media, Packer clan, who he was a friend of, couldn't get the truth of how he died, there's something mysterious about it. He's been taken out. he was, again, he would have known all the stories too, because he was, you know, Nicole's younger sister, who seems like a nice person. Maybe she should hook up with Keith. They can compare notes.
Maybe she should.
Mm. So this is a big conspiracy wise though, the Dr. Kidman, the Roseville Hospital, and read into Roseville Hospital. When I say that, I mean I'm talking about the great big all the stuff that you heard on Stranger Things and all those shows about psych centers doing strange experiments, because I definitely think they were going on in that hospital. And guess who was in charge of that particular wing for a long time? None other than the cousin of Aldous Huxley, Aldous Huxley. Dr. Huxley was running that operation in the 40s and 50s, where they had a whole lot of people that had come back from the First World War with their brains turned to jelly by high explosive from the Nobel Prize winner that created it, Dr. Nobel. And these guys came back with serious problems from just the working as a gunner in the army. You'd come back with shell shock, the explosions, the noise, let alone being underneath one of these things where they exploded. I've got no doubt that happened, no doubt whatsoever. We had, growing up in the 70s, you'd see shell shock victims. There was one called Ali Lunn was his name. Used to cycle around singing and had a bell on his, you know, they call him Tingling, I think his nickname was. He was a shell shock victim from the Second World War. He'd come back with his brain turned to jelly and basically was a 7 or 8 year old intellectually until he passed away in Wellington back in the 90s, I do believe. Now, this was a thing, shell shock was a thing. You'd see lots of casualties from the Second World War. And the First World War, even back in the day, no denying it, and no denying it. They weren't pretending. They were definitely mentally ill. They weren't when they went there, but they came back really badly exposed. Just again, working around a gun emplacement and having that incredible velocity of those explode. Even if you fired a 303, you can imagine around 100 times bigger, or you know, whatever, 25 pounders, 77 pounds, 88 pounds, like the Germans had. Just the things going off caused issues for poor people that, you know, weren't wearing helmets. They were getting concussion, basically, working, even if they were firing at nobody, they were getting affected by it, guaranteed. No arguments into on this show, it'd be told. So, yeah, Dr. Kidman and Angus Hawley, very mysterious, brushed under the, you know, society's carpet till I bring things up again, you know, 30 years later. What year did he die? He died 2015. So Angus died 10 years ago, and Dr. Anthony Kidman died the year before that in 2014. On September the 7th. They both have sevens in the dates, so you can work that one out if you've been listening to the Bongversations. The clue that is always there, even if they don't want it to be there, apparently. Apparently. Now, I'm going to mute for a little bit, and then I'll be back talking. Now, the last show I did, I'm back, you didn't even notice, I had Silas Speaks come on. This is just after, was it the week after Charlie Kirk got removed off the platform of the stage? A story which I think Silas broke it up that you didn't need to look into it any further after that, which I don't. I don't bring it up. But it just reminded me, though, recently of the fact that the Je suis Charlie, the French I Am Charlie, remember that Charlie Hebdo story? They're using the name Charlie there. You've got King Charles at the moment in charge of, getting even Donald Trump groveling. Charles and Charlie. And then I remember the tuna commercials, Sorry Charlie. That was huge, probably up into, is it still going? Charlie the tuna. It was a big advert. So Charlie is a there. There's the name Charles and Charlie being reused and recycled again for your media. Now, I'm not remotely, I'd never heard of the guy before. Maybe I'd seen one of his YouTubes where he's, prove me wrong things. But he's not popular anywhere apart from America and maybe younger people over here, but not that popular as to be a level of a psychological operation like 9/11. And people have said, oh, this is 9/11 2.0. Maybe did I suggest that? Well, it's still going on. There's still people wasting their lives talking about it. And not me. I listened to some of a show the other day, but they kept talking about the story, and I've heard enough about it already. I don't need to hear any more. They've put so much effort into this story that they want you to sit there debating it, doing this mass debate thing, that you can see that the story is there to tie you up. And at the same exact time, you've got Gaza going on. And allegedly, look, you're listening to Be Told.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to another conversation
or your preoccupation
on truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now, on with the conversation.
The art of conversation.
This is Vincent Price, and you're now listening to the Be Told, episode number 39. Now, do I get paid?
No, you're not going to get paid. Oh, actually, maybe you will get paid. Thank you very much, Vincent Price, for coming and doing these bumpers. Thank you very much. Episode number 39 on October the 5th. Wonderful October the 5th. Isn't it? So October's apparently, though, is the dodgiest month, so that you expect a whole lot more stuff this month. It's the Red October. There's Revolut. It's a Revolut month of revolutions. If you look at history, the October this and the October that. So therefore, we're going to get to the 11th of November, and which is the 11th, the 11th, and something would have happened by then to cause. Even though, look, I am baffled at what's going on at the moment in the media. We've got Greta Thunberg, who's been taken out of the climate change scam because too many people were waking up, and then put straight into the Gaza palaza, and you're getting nonstop. This is what's happening. Again, you get your Sydney Morning Herald or your Daily Telegraph. One side will show that a whole lot of hospitals were blown up by the Israelis. The other side will have a attack on a mosque, or what they did last week, they inserted a stabbing into a mosque in Manchester. I'll bring it up again. Manchester was the name of one of the big demons in this big book I've got on demons. Manchester was one of them, and that's why they're called the Red Devils, guaranteed. Napoleon Wilson, I think he acknowledged that's years ago when I mentioned that. So there's a big there with Manchester. And I know this popular brand of $7 and $8 packet of cigarettes. Now, Manchester, you can get here. You can go and buy legal ones for $45 or go and buy a packet of Manchester's, 20 perfectly done cigarettes for $7 or $8. I think it's about $8, between $7 and $8 for a packet. What's going on there? There's so many contraindications going on in the media at the moment and in real life. But so Gaza's going on. So you're seeing a hospital being blown up by the Israelis. But on the other side of the paper will say, I can't believe the hatred. Why would anyone hate Israel? So you're getting this, your brain is being split down the middle by left side and right side of the media or the newspaper that you open up. And I do recommend, if you're awake, to read the newspaper and to see what the general public is being shown at the moment. And what it is doing, it's fracturing their mind. fracturing their mind. It's splitting you that you've got two opposing opinions in your head at the same time. George Orwell said that. That's the ideal society, was when you've got two, you can have people having two opposing opinions in their mind. You can dislike the Israelis, but if you do dislike the Israelis, you're anti-Semitic, and that's nasty. So at the moment, there is nothing but pro-Gaza, and then on the same, the other page, there'll be someone that has got angry and defaced a mosque, one of their funny churches, whatever they're called. And they are the worst people ever. And then they bring up the Holocaust, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then there'll be the story about the Holocaust going on in Gaza. So you're getting two opposing opinions in your head exactly at the same time. Exactly at the same time as Orwell said it was going to happen, I do believe. I think he knew a lot more than what they make out. I think he actually was. I don't think he was the good guy. And if he was, he was a great writer, I'll just say that. Even though I'm the first person to say that he plagiarized a little bit of Archibald Baxter's book, We Shall Not Cease, where he talked about when he walks out and can't recognize his own face in the mirror. Literally, note for note, Archibald Baxter's book, We Shall Not Cease, that happened to him. And I've mentioned again that Gollinge, the publisher of both We Shall Not Cease and 1984, obviously they were friends, and Eric Blair, George Orwell, read and reviewed the book We Shall Not Cease and got that idea from Archibald Baxter. I'll say it again, I'm the only person to bring this up as far as I'm aware, ever. So you're listening to exclusive material on the Be Told Show. I'm drinking beer, a wonderful chef blend pale ale by Adam Leo, some, I think, Vietnamese or Chinese, half Chinese chef in Sydney that's been part of brewing a beer by James Squire. And I'm telling you now, it's fantastic. I enjoy it. So, you know, so we're going through this incredible thing at the moment where we don't know, not we, but the general public don't know which, whether Arthur or Martha. You know, literally, it's a great old saying. You don't know, you've got to be careful what you say, because you might be offending somebody that on the other side. And then there's no better example of this. And we talked about this last night on the Rick and Rollo birthday special. There's a new movie of Wuthering Heights coming out, and they've had the temerity to actually make them both characters white. How dare they? And they've gotten into all sorts of trouble for that. Margot Robbie, who's now 40 and still looking like Barbie, even though she just had a child recently, she's got that. They're saying that, oh no, that she's too old to play the role and she's too white, and that Heathcliff, he's too white. It should have been a dark African person to play Heathcliff. Now, excuse me, but do you recall Heathcliff being African in the original book? That would have been almost, she would have been, you know, Emily Bronte could have been jailed for that, because you did not marry, you know, this did not happen back in that era. Mixed marriages were not a thing. Not a thing. But now, you know, they're recolorizing everything, and it's just unbelievable. I'm just going to mute and I'll be back. And I'm back. How amazing. You would never have known. But yeah, so they're recolorizing Disney movies, et cetera, et cetera. And it causes mass consternation by the YouTube people that Rollo watches all the time that show that how pathetic, and these movies are not selling. They recolorized Snow White, changed. Well, she didn't look that dark to me, but, you know, she was not whitish. And then they did it too. They've changed the color of the Little Mermaid, et cetera, causing mass consternation online. Yet, when you actually do produce something that actually does have two white characters, you get into trouble for that. So, therefore, we are living in this era of Orwellian two opposing opinions in your head at the same time. And no greater, again, a better example is the word nigger. And Roller gets in all sorts of trouble for going on about that. But if you listen to the word, if you listen to radio, Triple J over here, which is an interesting number, Triple J, and the word Double J before that, the youth network, they're constantly playing music with up to 50 or 60 mentions of that N-word in it. No problem whatsoever. But if a white person says it, they get into trouble. So you've got two opposing opinions in your head at the same time. You can pretend to be African-American or dark color. You can say it, no problem whatsoever. But if you actually are white and you use that word, you're in trouble. Now, this is, again, creating a fractured mind. And I brought up white fracturing and the mind before some of the older shows. That what they are doing is creating this concussion, as we were talking earlier about the concussion of World War One and the experiments that were done on those patients, which was definitely done for sure in Roseville Hospital and many other big psych centres, to kind of find out, to reprogram you and create a fractured society and then reprogram you into a new world order. And that's what's going on right now. And we are living in the middle of it, right in the middle of it right now. The media. I mean, why would Greta Thunberg, who was the poster girl for climate change, be repurposed to do the same work for the pro-Gaza movement and creating a lot of anti-Israel sentiment? This is obviously a thing. They don't bring someone out of that magnitude that polarizes opinion. They want polarized opinions and they want fractured minds. They want you to be fractured personalities. And they're doing a very good job of it at the moment. I'll just have to say that without any doubt whatsoever. There's another Charlie that popped into my head too the other day. There was a guy that I used to listen to the Mark Devlin show. A great DJ and has a great musical taste, but not so much the soul stuff. I'm not big into that, but he did some good shows. But he got baffled and lied to by so many people, and he went with it, and he didn't pick up on it. And one of the worst of the lot was a guy called Charlie Freak. Now, there's another Charlie out there. So I'm saying that Charlie, be careful of Charlies. Is Charlie Brown nefarious? I'm not sure. I'll just say this. So as a child, the most boring movie I've ever seen in my life to this day was Snoopy, Comeback Snoopy or something or other. It was a Charlie Brown animated movie. I've never got over that, how boring it was. It was so mind-numbingly dull. It has jazz music, which I'm not a big fan of, and long cartoon images of Snoopy skate on skates, skating. I can still remember it, 74. I used to love the movies, but that movie just traumatized me of how boring Charlie Brown, that whole cartoon series. But particularly the movies, do not ever play that to your children if you want them to be normal. Absolutely terrible. But Charlie Hebdo, Charlie Freak. Now, this guy, Charlie Freak, he came out and he was pushing this Q narrative that Trump was coming back and everyone was in jail and, you know, Hillary Clinton, no, they've already executed her. You've got to listen to them to see this is some of the worst disinformation I've ever heard. Mark Devlin allowed that show to get put out. 2 out of 10, Mark Devlin. You know, and he was kind of picking up the second or third appearance that he's being lied to. I could hear it within seconds. Seconds. This guy's a liar. Then he started going on about that him and his wife rescued dogs and he converted them to becoming vegans. He was making vegan food for dogs. Now that would just be, as far as I'm concerned, a jailable offense. Have you ever heard of a dog secretly burying a carrot? Have you ever heard of a dog hunting broccoli? No. Dogs like bones and meat. That's it. Maybe you can get some fish oil into them, which is very beneficial. But no. And so there's Mark Devlin. He did all these shows now. So I don't listen to him anymore. I do not listen to him anymore because he allows some of the freakier people in there, pardon the pun, but Charlie Freak, you've got to, I mean, honestly, this was the highest level of disinformation I've heard for a long time. This, and Q being the whole thing, and I'll bring this up again. They've done this deliberately, that since 1972, for instance, they started bringing out TV shows to get the kids my age, or, you know, just 7 or 8 years of age by then, into the unknown. And so you had lots of ghost stuff, UFOs, crystal skulls, Star Trek, Space 1999, UFO, all the shows I've talked about on this show, to get you into this unknown business and not to trust the government. The X-Files came out and really did a great number on the 90s? 91, 90, whatever. And that brought it even more into vogue of being not to trust the government. UFOs are real. Black goo, blah, 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 blah. And it absolutely got us all to be into our different realms of conspiracy, you know. And so therefore, say you have a, you know, like when COVID happened, I'd go to the stand in the park thing and you'd be surrounded by a whole lot of people that were, you know, oh no, this is the aliens are coming to save us, or Q's coming to save us. You had a whole lot of people that didn't trust the vaccines, but they were all in their own religions of different various levels of conspiracy. And so you had nothing in common with these people apart from the fact you didn't trust the vaccines. So they split us up using this fracturing the psyche many years before. And, of course, Arthur C. Clarke was led the way with his Mysterious World show. And then, of course, you know, bring it up again, but you had old pointy ears from Leonard Nimoy hosting In Search Of. And every week there was some really good stuff, but a lot of garbage, but, you know, Bermuda Triangle, et cetera, et cetera. And then that's, after that generation kind of got into it, you had the, again, X-Files to, you know, round them up again. And then you've had Stranger Things more recently to get the younger generation all into the same project, secret government projects to have aliens, demons, whatever, blah, 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 blah. So we've been digitally herded, or by TV, herded into a different, our own corrals. We've been corralled into different areas and kept completely separate from other people. So even if you're into, you understand that you're being lied to by the government, et cetera, you might be listening to Alex Jones, or we might be listening to, or say, Alan Watt, which would suggest you get a bit more realism with him, apart from the nuke thing. He didn't bring that one up, but I'm sure if he'd seen what I'd seen, he probably would have, with the productions since then on the nuke lies story, nuke liar story. So we've all been digitally and heard and corralled into our own different areas, and so we have no common denominator. You can go into fakeologist.com, you can go into IPS and places like that, and you will still have an elitist kind of group in there that only believe this, and then there's one group that only believe that, and there's only this amount of history, and there's only that amount of history, or this is fake and that's fake. So you're all arguing with each other. You've got nothing in common. Even though that you actually do agree that there's something nefarious going on, we've been herded into this thing, we're going into a digital currency and a digital ID system, which is happening. And so I'm saying all you need to do is just look at what's affecting you in real life, and that is not aliens, it is not EGI, it is not... I mean, they did it with 9/11, a great example. You know, we got Judy Wood's version, the rockets, you know, special vibe, you know, just so many different theories, so that you're all corralled into different places and you're arguing, and even though you know that this thing was a ritual and it was an operation, you're still arguing with your own friends that you have that they've got their own version of this particular story. You're listening to Beetle.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Wonderful, Joel. Thank you very much. It's the Rick Beetle Show, episode number 39, on October the 5th, 2025. Now, I went to the beach today and it was so beautiful. The water is perfect. The wind, it was a bit windy, but it was absolutely beautiful. You've got to get out into nature and enjoy yourself. It's so easy to lie in bed, look at YouTube shorts and watch England going down the gurgler, according to, what's his name? Charlie Veach. Another Charlie, a proper Charlie. What's going on with this Charlie business? Why are there so many Charlies involved with annoying things? Now, if you watch Charlie Veach, I think he's Scottish, but he's got some dirt against him. Like, apparently, he was in a relationship and it went pear-shaped. We've all been there. But when he's roaming around, he's getting called a nonce, which in England means that you're a child botherer, I think. But I don't think that was the aspersion made, but that because he's imperfect, like we all are, and he's chosen to walk around, you know, exposing, he's very anti, he's kind of pro-Israel, I think. I'm not sure, but he seems to be anti, the anti-Gaza stuff. There's so many of these people all roaming around pointing out all the hotels in England full of migrants. Now, this has obviously been deliberately done, and that Keir Starmer, who I'm telling you now, that guy is so fucking nefarious. The most unpopular prime minister they've ever had, and that's saying something, if you look at Margaret Thatcher and Winston Churchill, they were incredibly unpopular, and Tony B. Liar, incredibly unpopular. But I think he's managed to become even more unpopular. I did suggest that I see a very strong parallel between Keir Starmer, and I brought it up, the star man, Keir Dulla, the star of 2001 Space Odyssey. There's a there for sure. And that he's going to be used very similar to the movie V for Vendetta, that there's going to be a big controlled demolition of the completely over, you know, old houses of parliament in England that need to be, they've probably got the demolition team already ready to go. Blow it up, just like the movie V for Vendetta, guaranteed. Who, and I'll say this again for posterity, I was in the same room on the Matrix film, one day, at a set where they filled it full of old TVs, which if you've watched the movie, you'll see that set. And the brother Wachowski, both of them turned up and had a meeting with the second AD, the assistant director of the Matrix, who was a New Zealander, and they sat there and talked about this coming project they had, and he became the director of that movie. I was there sitting in the room with them. Be told. Do I get brownie points for that? No, but it was definitely a thing that happened. Because I could hear them talking about stuff and mentioning this, and next thing you know, the movie came out. Now, if you've ever seen it, it's a very good movie. Notice that they used the Guy Fawkes mask, though, for that Anonymous that got recent. And where have they gone to? Did they morph into Q? I think they did. Again, the conspiracy movement and the conspiracy sites are just as nefarious as your mainstream news today. Guaranteed. And who do you trust? Who do you trust? Very difficult. I'm pretty good pretty good. But I'm just baffled about the amount of fracturing going on at the moment. Guaranteed. Yeah, our psyches are being, whether you like it or not, I mean, you might even know. Let's have a look at how many things that you see on the media that you kind of agree with, and then all of a sudden there'll be a story that makes you the person that agrees with it is an absolute criminal, a thought criminal. This is happening right now. I'm just bemused at seeing it. I just know for a fact that they use astrology for their projects, and if this four planet retrograde on the 11th of the 11th, which is a perfect date for it to happen, I'll just have to tell you that, happens, something big is going to happen either this month or early into the next month. But they want mass chaos, and that's the whole plan is chaos, you know, order out of chaos. They want as much chaos as they're doing. To me, as a 61-year-old, which is kind of, is it an anagram of 19? No. An upside-down 19, kind of, yeah. I'm telling you that this has never been, we've never seen so much media fracturing going on ever, ever. This is, we're at the nth of media fracturing. So, what do? You just enjoy it and go to the beach and go to work. And or if you've got money, don't go to work, but go to the gym. That's my advice. Or go and paint a fence, which is absolutely fantastic if you're listening to a good podcast. Now, I'm going to probably go soon. I think keep it to a short and sweet, I always say. And I'll be back next Sunday to do a further Be Told, episode number 40 of Be Told. What will that be about? No idea. I should do some research because honestly, I come in here with no idea what I'm going to talk about. No idea. I just remember what interested me about the Kidman story and that poor husband of hers. He's actually a really good musician and can play the guitar. And I can tell he's scared by her because she looks frightening, absolutely frightening. There's something about, you know, when you, as you age, your face will age appropriately. And that's why some people, if they're nefarious, will show it on their face. Your face will betray you. I do believe. Wrinkles is a problem though, which I've got. Can't do anything about that. But, well, yeah, I could, but I'm not going to. I'll just say that. But anyway, what we're going to go out with, I'm going to go out with a song tonight that, of an album that I got when I was about 8 years of age. And it was the soundtrack to The Good, Bad and the Ugly by, not the original, but by Hugo Montenegro, who did the theme song to I Dream of Jeannie, I do believe, and some great stuff. But he did, his versions of some of the songs, to me, are way better. And his Good, Bad and the Ugly, which were the whistling, as opposed to their, version, the original version, is way better as far as I'm concerned. There's a great song. What's it called? I'll tell you before I go. I'll send it off to Joel. The song is called, where am I? I was playing it just recently. I may not be able to find it because I didn't add it to my library. But it's a great song anyway by Hugo Montenegro, and it's from one of the spaghetti westerns. It is absolutely fantastic. It's really atmospheric music, and I had that album, and I used to play it as an eight-year-old. Can you imagine being an 8 years old listening to movie soundtracks and stuff like that? I did. That was my favourite music. I was so into movies. My favourite books were Western movie books and war movie books. I was absolute authority on those subjects as a child, guaranteed, to be told. Anyway, I'll send the song off to Joel when I can find it, and we'll be back. Oh, here we go. I'll tell you now, sorry. It's called The Vice of Killing. The Vice of Killing by Hugo Montenegro. Absolutely atmospheric fantastic stuff. Really good music. It's very male music, I think. I love that. Good, Bad and the Ugly film. I love Fistful of Dollars and For a Few Dollars More. Even though now when you watch them, the dubbing is not so good. Not as bad as the Bruce Lee movies that are really bad. But they were fantastic. So The Vice of Killing by Hugo Montenegro on this wonderful October the 5th, 2025. And listen out to the Rick and Rollo birthday special. It was a really good show we did last night. Like that. And Bongversation 46. For those of you into the more real esoteric, he's doing some really good stuff, Dave. 10 out of 10. 12 out of 10. So I'll be back next week, or could be even earlier. Could be even earlier with Be Told episode number 40. Thank you, everyone. And The Vice of Killing by Hugo Montenegro. Bye bye.